Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome in. It's the Lions 24/7 podcast. I'm Tyler Donahue. He is Sean Fitz. Penn State put in practice number 5. On Wednesday, we were there at the start of it and at the end of it. Got a chance to hear from James Franklin, offensive coordinator Mike Yurcich, a couple team veterans and Jonathan Sutherland and Juice Scruggs after that practice session. A lot of content over at Lions247.com, including some VIP notes as well as some photo gallery stuff. If you're watching us on YouTube here, I got lights flickering. We have a massive thunderstorm rolling through on a truly spring day here in Happy Valley. We've moved on from the winter weather. But hopefully I stay with you, Sean, but I feel like a little bit out of a scene from Twister right now.
You know what? I'll take any spring day we can get. I just had my air conditioner service, so I'm looking forward to actually blowing cold air out of these vents once in a while. But yeah, I'll take it. And I hope we keep you for the entire episode, because that's I'm gonna need you on this one. You were at practice last night. I was at practice last night. You went back for the follow-ups with Mike Yurcich, James Franklin, Jonathan Sutherland, Juice Scruggs. Getting into it, 5 practices, so a third of the way through. Of course, a lot of that's acclimation. You got a couple days without out actual pads and hitting and things like that. So it's usually the least active here. They're going to get into they'll have a Saturday scrimmage in Beaver Stadium. We're not invited this year. We were there last year, but that was just because everybody was invited due to the whole COVID thing, the recruiting opening up and all that kind of stuff. We don't have
that. Did we say please? Yeah. Did we make sure we said please?
I said please. I approached Greg Kincaid about it. It was more for planning purposes than anything, because speaking of which, I'll be out for the first episode next week going fishing a couple of days. So Tyler, you're gonna have to figure out what we're doing next week, but yeah,
we'll figure it out.
Scrimmage this weekend and get into it and eclipse that halfway point and take it home. But we saw last night that there's a lot of those storylines that we approach the spring with, we continue, and a lot of that is focused on numbers. You look at the offensive line, that pops up immediately. You look at the linebackers, just a couple of, you're switching around walk-ons and things like that to make it work there too. So a little short, you have that in spring sometimes, but there's a lot of holes to be filled in, and it's not going to happen right away for Penn State.
Yeah, you were putting together kind of a piecemeal offensive line depth chart on Wednesday. If they had to get on the field and play a game, Alex Furmanek, who, as far as we know, a few weeks ago was in the defensive line room, would be a two-deep guy right now for you. So we'll get to that in a second. But how about some positive trends? And they involve some familiar names here. Zane Durant popped up, which is no surprise. We'll get to him in a second. There were some defensive players mentioned by Franklin in a very positive light. But in that running back room, Nick Singleton, since he got to campus, there's been the buzz. Since before he got to campus, there's been a buzz. Gatorade Player of the Year nationally. And we've been saying for a while, don't forget about Catron Allen, top 24/7 talent himself. You don't just go to IMG Academy as a sophomore in high school and then flourish for 3 seasons by accident. He got to campus here in January as well. Sounds like both of them, according to Mike Yurcich and James Franklin, prepared physically and mentally in a room where anything is up for grabs right now.
Well, that's what you're looking for. You look at that position, and I don't want to say it's an easy one to contribute immediately as a freshman, but it's among the spectrum. It's one of the easier positions to take the ball and go with it. Now, a lot of that has to do with pass protection and the little things like that. And James Franklin actually mentioned that Nick Singleton has done a good job coming along in pass protection. And, you know, we think he can carry the ball. We think, he can, do all the things that a running back does with the ball in his hands, but those little things that you don't think about from a down to down basis or a week to week basis, those are the things that get you on the field. And for James Franklin to comment on his pass protection, to me, says more. I can take more away from that than I can about, oh, he looks great running the ball, he looks good, catching the ball out of the backfield, et cetera, because that means he's in line to play. And I reached out to some folks earlier this week and, who's standing out, et cetera. Those two jumped right to the top of the list. So Kevon Lee, very good offseason. You're going to have to figure out and shuffle that deck and figure out where those guys fit in, because Kaziah Holmes was still taking reps yesterday. Devin Ford still taking reps yesterday. But I think those guys are coming, and it's at a point where Jaywon Sider, after the year that they had last year, if somebody's going to come in and upset the cart, that's fine, because you're starting starting, essentially resetting, starting from scratch. And these guys are pretty talented. So can't wait to see Singleton. Haven't seen a ton of Catron Allen. Of course, he's a quiet guy, played in the Under Armour All-American game just a couple of months ago. But, I mean, they've got a lot of the things that you're looking for. And to be honest with you, if you're a Penn State fan watching this, you want to see something different, that's what you've got.
And Jaywon Slater, very vocal. I don't know if he was emphasizing it because he had all these cameras on him and people recording and all of us listening and knowing that we're going to go on podcasts and talk about it. But he was very vocal, reminding those running backs about what happened and what didn't happen last year while working them through some drills, challenging them physically. I think there was a point of emphasis on the lack of production after contact last year, which was a frustrating aspect of what overall was a failure for the ground game. And so, Sean, you're right. It wasn't really surprising or startling or notable that James Franklin said Nick Singleton looks explosive. We can check that off the list when he gets here in January. The fact that he went out of his way, specifically referenced the pass protection. We also heard that he feels Catron Allen has a leg up from that time at IMG Academy. We heard something similar when Noah Cain came to campus a few years ago, and you saw how that freshman year worked out for him. And Franklin also referenced it in knowing how to handle himself in pass protection and knowing how to anticipate things a bit. And that's important because a couple of years ago, when you had no practices in the spring because of the circumstances of 2020, I recall Jaywon Slater breaking down those freshman running backs who had to play a huge role, Keziah Holmes and Kevon Lee, and really talking about how that aspect of their game was missing from the toolkit when they got to campus. That both of them were physical specimen, athletic, impressive. You get the ball in their hands, they can do some special things. But everything else without the ball in your hands, that's where you get tripped up, even at the elite running back talent in that transition. First spring to hear those kind of reviews in a room that really needs a reset. That equation lines up pretty well for Nick Singleton and Catron Allen. And I know a lot of listeners out there are pretty excited for April 23rd when they get a chance to see these guys run the ball in Beaver Stadium.
I would agree with that. And I would say, you know, I think we're going to approach this offseason, especially at running back and tight end, sort of kind of wary of what we heard last year versus what we saw last year. I mean, this kind of does remind you of 2019 when you thought you had a starter. You think you have Kevon Lee and I hate to make the I'm not comparing them at all, but to your Ricky Slade, who you thought was going to be the starter in 2019, but you've got four guys that you think can contribute, and where do they all fit in, and how's that going to work over the first month of the season? How's that going to transition into what you're looking to in October and November? So you've got options right there. So it'll be interesting to see. By the way, I have a question. Did you ask Mike Yurcich about last year's ground game?
I did not, but it was asked about in a couple different ways, and each path was denied. Mike Yurcich has closed the book on discussing the frustrations of 2021, apparently, and he made that very clear early on. He talked
He's got no time for our bullshit.
Yeah, he talked a lot about his frustrations, and saying he wanted to improve the offense or die trying before the bowl game. This is the first time we've had him since the bowl game, which was not a great way to finish his first year as offensive coordinator down there. No points in the second half, and just another game where the ground game goes missing and you can't figure out why exactly that happened. So you get to this point, Yurcich wants to focus on the present. A big part of that, Sean, of course, is in the quarterback room. Sean Clifford, year number six. You talk about something people are hesitant to buy into or really just get their feet on the bandwagon with. You know, positivity in the running back room is going to be hard for people. With the run game is going to be hard for people. Hearing about how Sean Clifford is going to make a big step, you know, as a 23-year-old prospect at this level is even a more difficult pill to swallow. But Mike Yurcich saying the biggest development he sees from Sean Clifford, and this will be music to people's ears, but I don't know if they'll believe it right now, is in his working through progressions and his ability to anticipate with the continuity year two. Feels like the trust, you know, he's saying vice versa, him and Sean, the wavelength is there. We heard that last year, especially when things got off to a hot start. So look, you take everything you hear with a grain of salt with this offense. And that is especially true. You know, you and I have watched Sean Clifford now start 33 games for Penn State football. We covered a lot of his recruitment process as well. So it's, you know, he's been a productive quarterback. He's going to put up some tremendous career numbers. But is he going to push you that much further from the 7-6 finish where you're saying you got to put your eggs in the basket of a 6-year senior?
Yeah, well, I mean, that was a 5-0 start. So, I mean, obviously things changed in that one play at Iowa. But it's funny because that Clifford fatigue is real. I posted some notes last night. Sean Clifford was the best-looking quarterback and the most accurate quarterback in the time that we saw. People don't really want to hear that right now. It's kind of how that's all played out, and he's been around for so long, and you kind of know exactly what you're getting, just in terms of how high he can get, how low he can get, and where does your team fit. I mean, basically your win-loss record is going to be in between wherever he sees fit from a week to week. So that's tough to overcome, because everybody wants the young guys to step up. And I think this quarterback room is in a much better position than it was a year ago at this time. But you know so much about Sean Clifford. You think you've seen it all with Sean Clifford. Good reviews are probably not something that are being received favorably right now. So, and that's unfortunate, because you can see it out there. I was watching last night, just the depth of his drops and the smooth motion of rolling out to his right and delivering the ball. And then a couple of reps later, Drew Aller sends one flying, in the same drill. I mean, it's interesting to watch the dynamics of how people respond to Sean Clifford. I'm not saying I blame people. I mean, we've seen a lot of Sean Clifford. We've seen some good. We tend to block out some of the good, but we remember that bad because it's been pretty bad. So I don't know what to how to bring this one home, other than it's going to happen. I mean, he's clearly the top guy right now. He's clearly going to be the starter when they go to Purdue. And you just have to hope this quarterback room can keep up, and they can all benefit from him being the number one.
You mentioned it wasn't really that well received, that you noted Sean Clifford was clearly the guy at quarterback and going through his thing. By the way, an impressive pro day performance with Jahan Dotson out there. That's something that Mike Yurcich also was not interested in discussing.
Not relevant, apparently.
Sean Clifford, as much as people may not want to hear that, they also may have read the sentence that you wrote about Drew Aller, which wasn't Drew Aller is setting the world on fire, and that's what everyone wants to hear about Drew right now through five practices at Penn State. Gonna be a process, and Bo Perbula is getting reps ahead of him. It's just in order. The guys are in line. For all we know, Drew's rotating, but the guy that wasn't asked about yesterday is Christian Veilleux, and to me, he is still the player in that room that when you look away from Sean Clifford and wonder who might need to step up if Clifford gets hurt, if it's a shoddy start to the season, continue to go with, well, I was going to say number nine, but I guess I'll have to clarify, Christian Veilleux.
Yeah, number nine and number nine are taking reps of number two and number three, because, of course, Bo is wearing number nine as well. That's crazy. And also, you mentioned Alex Fermenek a couple of minutes ago. He's still wearing number 47 as an offensive lineman, which is just absolutely awesome. But yeah, I mean, you've got to develop that class or develop them. And what James Franklin said is equal reps are coming through. And, whether that's, everybody's getting five reps at a time, which is probably not realistic in the flow of a college practice, but you're getting enough work for Sean Clifford, and then you're getting those other three guys more than their share, I would say, would probably be a good way to go about it, getting equal reps. As I stumble over myself, I apologize for that. But no, I mean, it's all about improving that one through four, rather than just developing that one, as we've seen before, that just getting that one ready and then number two kind of sinks below there. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm not surprised Bo Pabula has taken the third reps. I mean, we talked about that this offseason, is Drew had a lot of work to do physically, a lot of work to do from a training standpoint, a lifting standpoint, and things like that. I will say the ball does jump. I mean, you can see it coming out of his hand. There's something special there. Maybe uses a little bit, relies a little bit too on his arm at times, but there's the natural talent is right there, and it's hard to miss.
Quarterback going to be remaining discussion. Some things down
the road.
We'll
talk about that at some point in the offseason.
on this timeline, though, Sean, some things I'll be curious: who's working with the scout team when we get to that point? When the team kind of splits up in August, who ends up over there with the scout team who's traveling to Indiana in September for that Purdue matchup. We'll kind of get an early indication of where those freshmen have come along. A long way down the road, five practices in their pocket. We'll keep monitoring that. We'll be back on the practice field next week as well. So another chance for evaluation of both Prabula and Aller. Moving over to wide receiver, Sean, a guy I mentioned last week, Malik Mega, and we had talked about him maybe contributing as a punt coverage gunner with that speed and the blend of size. That's a pretty scary thought for special teams coordinators on the other side of this thing. Mega has all this fascination, and you can use your imagination and you can use that breakout thing. The feedback you get on Tinsley is dependable, game ready. A guy who's, you know, come in, plug and play. Get him familiar with the offensive scheme. He'll be ready to roll. He'd be dependable. It's an interesting juxtaposition that's kind of developing here as we look around the receiver room for who's going to step up with Jahan Dotson moving on.
Yeah, that makes me wonder how dynamic is he, because you look at the potential of Malik Mega, you look at the potential of a guy like Harrison Wallace, and you know they mentioned those things, the jumping ability, the leaping ability, the way to high point the ball and everything like that. For everything they say about Tinsley, he's smooth, he's mature and all that kind of stuff, and you're wondering, you know, is he a guy that's going to fill that possession role, and maybe some of that you threw to Parker Washington last year, maybe that opens some things up for Parker Washington. I don't know. It's going to be interesting, but I am right there with you in that the feedback for Tinsley is different. I don't know if it's maybe he's not as good as we thought he was. Maybe he's better than we thought. There's no tipping their hand on that, but it's very different than the other receivers. I thought that was interesting as well.
Yeah, we'll see. And by the way, Taylor Stubblefield made it a point to be very loud and vocal in some of his judgment of his receivers yesterday with the media crowded around as well, including some words for some of the freshmen who remain on the lighter side, Caden Saunders, Amari Evans out there. Receiver room has a lot of growth to go through and sorting things out on that too deep. Speaking of growth, it sounds like it's going very well for Zaki Wheatley at the safety position. He spent his freshman year at cornerback. The length has always been apparent with the Maryland product. And now here he is in his first camp as a safety, and it sure sounds like he's pushing for starting consideration.
Yeah, I mean, we talked in the offseason about you have Jair Brown at one spot and then probably Jalen Reed and Keaton Ellis battling for the other spot. But I think Wheatley's gotten in there, and I think that's a credit to him, the way that he's come along. And you know, the coaches are very high on what he brings to the table. Hasn't played a lot of football. A lot of that is out of his hands. Of course, he missed his senior season. So when he gets back into live action, we'll see how many strides he has made, but they think it's promising. And for a guy that's been a redshirt freshman to come along and sort of shake some things up and be in the two deep, you really can't ask for much more out of Zaki Wheatley. Now we'll see what happens when he takes the field, but absolutely just sort of tickled with his progress, because you know you missed his senior year, you weren't quite sure what he was, you thought you had an idea, then he goes and plays corner, which, you know, kind of takes him off the radar altogether, because there's a lot of corners over there last year. And then moves to safety. Is he a depth guy? Is he a guy to push the start? Looks like it's going to be the latter.
Yeah, Jonathan Sutherland, who spent a lot of time at safety in his career, now at linebacker, referred to Wheatley as a ball hawk and said that's been a theme so far in spring ball, including an interception on Wednesday. And by the way, James Franklin sounding confident that they have four safeties who can play in game action right now. That's a good number right now. We'll see if they can build upon that. They've got some incoming talent, some freshmen, the junior college transfer and Tyrese Mills, but Jalen Reed, part of that conversation along with the three that we just discussed. So we'll find out who the starter is, but to hear him say that they've got four guys, five practices into spring ball, I think Anthony Poindexter's group is in a pretty healthy position right now. You'd like more depth, but that's a good starting point.
I mean, you'll take four. Yeah. This is a conversation we have every year. A guy is a standout at safety, and then he has to be replaced, and the other starter is now the standout at safety, and he has to be replaced. Now you've got this situation again, but you feel better than you have in the last couple of years in terms of filling that in. I mean, we didn't know for sure that Jair Brown was going to be a full-time starter or anything like that till August last year. So you're feeling pretty decent about the talent that you have there, the depth that you have. They haven't gone looking in the portal for a safety, which tells me they feel pretty comfortable with those guys back there. Keaton Ellis, while his career probably hasn't gone the way a lot of people thought it would, including himself, still has played a lot of football. So you've got some experience back there. You've got some talent, young talent in Reed and Wheatley, and you'll get some more reinforcements this offseason. And that, I think that's a something that James Franklin said, you know, referencing the offensive line, but there's still a lot of bodies to be filled in May for that that first summer session, then in June when the rest of them get here.
And particularly on defense, as I mentioned a couple episodes ago, only one scholarship addition on defense, and that's the guy we're going to mention right now. Zane Durant, ever heard of him, Sean? I thought James Franklin did a pretty nice job summarizing basically what we've been discussing about Durant for a while and what is continuing through the first third of spring practice, which is quite impressive. The quote from Franklin, Zane Durant is flashing at a position that's usually hard to flash at as a freshman.
We've talked about that before. It's insanely hard to get onto the field as a defensive tackle, as a freshman, and then you're 260 pounds trying to do it. I mean, that's going to add some wrinkles to the dynamic here. So we'll see where he's at when things go live, and we'll see where he's at on April 23rd. And like I mentioned, he's going to look small out there. You just look at the guys beside him, 300 pounders around, 290 pounders around him. He's not going to be that guy. But I think he's going to be active. I think he's going to be explosive. And you've got to figure out how to use him most effectively. And like I said, that's not going to be by getting him 30 snaps a game. That might be getting 8 to 10 snaps and trying to be disruptive, trying to be a pass rusher or something like that. And how does that work off of Hakeem Beamon? How does that work off Devon Ellis? And there's a lot to work for. Jordan Vanderbird's been active in there as well. How does that work off, you know, all these defensive tackles? And it's a good problem to have. It's a lot better of a situation than they were a couple of years ago. So you're finding yourself in a better and better spot at that position every week, actually.
And although he's not on the field, you've got field active, as you'd love to have him. You've got PJ Mustafa breaking down the practice film with these guys every single day, and they're getting a lot of reps on the practice field right now. So we'll see. Vandenberg, you continue to really like the feedback there, everything you hear about the second-year player. Sean, let's feel good stuff now. Let's go to the other side of the trenches, the offensive line. You look over to that corner of the facility yesterday during practice, and there just aren't a lot of bodies out there right now.
It's amazing. You look across, and you're trying to sort of nail down, and during the season, there's what? 15 to 17 offensive linemen, probably, you know, 14 scholarship guys, a couple of walk-ons. Now they're holding the bags for each other because there's 9 of them. So it's been really interesting to see that come together. You're playing JB Nelson at tackle and guard. You're trying to figure out different combinations. James Franklin mentioned Caden Wallace gives him some flexibility on the right side and left side. He did point out 3 guys. He pointed out Wallace, pointed out Juice Scruggs, who you talked to last night. He looks a little bit bigger playing center there. They feel like center is his best position. And then Olu Fashanu, who, of course, we've been very high on here on the podcast for a long, long time. So, I mean, steps in the right direction, that's fine. But this is still an offensive line that's got a long, long way to go.
Yeah, and Scruggs certainly does look just different than even last time we saw them down in Tampa. I know that may sound silly, but that's one guy that jumped off the practice field last week to me. I think I had mentioned that. Listed 12 pounds heavier than he was last year, you know, solidified now. And a guy that I think they're really going to be needing to lean on as a guy who's going to step up from a leadership role within this offensive line. And working with Sean Clifford, he got a chance to do that last year toward the tail end, moving over from right guard. But yeah, I mean, his feedback, you know, you take a lot of that among any of these peers, you know, kind of as highly as anyone. He's been around the program for a while now. And he said Olu Fashanu just has the kind of God-given talent that you can't coach, and it's coming together in a way that he says we'll see soon. The expectations from everybody, you know, dating back even some of the things that Mike Yurcich said last December about Olu Fashanu, has really set up for us to, you know, point at left tackle and say maybe that's a spot that's going to be okay. And Olu has to go out and prove it and prove it and prove it over and over again. But you love the feedback. I think Landon Tengwall is a big one to me. You know, if he can be a hit there on the left side alongside Olu Fashanu, that's going to go a long way toward what you want to accomplish for Penn State up front. If you've got issues at guard, you know, Salim Wormley coming off of rehab, you know, can he carry it through? You've got Hunter Norzad coming in. How much do you trust a player like JB Nelson or Golden Israel Chumba right now? And how much do you trust a lot of these guys, even projected starters? The benefit of the doubt isn't there, and that really applies to even the returning experienced players in this room because of what happened last year. And whether it's fair or not, that's the way it's going to be until they go out and hit another team and move the football with effectiveness.
I've got no problem with that. I mean, it's you've got to see it to believe it, and you know we say that every year, and somehow that gets twisted into, well, this is going to be the year for the offensive line. It's not. I mean, we're not at that position. We're not ready to make that leap. We haven't been for a while, and it's just it's crazy to think about on one end, but in the other end, you're right. There's talent there, which means there's hope there. We'll see what Hunter Norzad brings to the table. He was on campus over the weekend to check things out, and you got to think he likes what he's seeing right now. I mean, no offense to the guys that are on the field, but he's got an opportunity to step into that right guard spot and try to make some things happen. You know, you're looking, and James Franklin laid out the two deep in his preseason press conference, but you're looking fairly solid on that left side. You can, you know, if all those guys are healthy, then you think you've got a base to build for the future. We'll see how that all takes shape. But yeah, it's like we talked about with the running backs and the tight ends earlier. They're not in a spot where you give them the benefit of the doubt right now. And that's something that Phil Troutwine has to earn. Phil Troutwine has to put them in the right position. As we keep mentioning, there's talent there. There's the ability to turn some things around. I think, you know, a lot of people have already written off Caden Wallace, and they seem to think that he's got a lot left. So we'll see what happens with that group. And that's pretty much all you can say until September. I mean, even if they go out in the blue-white game and James Franklin said that they're opening some holes and the tight ends are doing better and things like that, even if they go out in the blue-white game and run the ball and do all that stuff, you're still going to have doubts heading into the season.
Yeah, it has to be proven on the field this fall. There's no way between now and then where it's not going to be a topic of discussion that has a negative light cast upon it. That's just the way it is coming off of what happened in 2021. Sean, the other position that we can't say we didn't warn our listeners the last few months. We talked about the offensive line and what that may look like during spring ball. Linebacker, thin over there as well.
Thin from a number standpoint. You know, I thought Jamari Budden looked good. I thought Tyler Ellison looked good out there. Kobe King as well. So, you know, there's size, there's athleticism, but yeah, very thin from an experience standpoint. You're scraping together a two deep right now. You know, it depends who's healthy on what particular day. You feel good about Curtis Jacobs, then you have questions all the way around the line. I don't think there's much we could have taken away from practice other than there's just not a whole heck of a lot of them running around. And we'll see how Manny Diaz has to utilize these guys to offset the numbers there. I mean, does that mean more two linebacker sets? Does that mean more Daquan Hardy on the field, which I'm a fan of personally, but you know, you can't run a nickelback out there against a team that's going to run the ball 40 times. So we'll see what happens with that linebacker group, but I still think that they're going to peruse the portal hard and try and find somebody that can come in. If not for an immediate starter, then a guy that's maybe close to a starter level, because you've got to figure out how to get through this season, or get through the next couple of months, and then get through the season with the numbers that you have, because that's a position where not everybody stays healthy. You and I know that. We've watched enough football. We've seen enough Penn State football to know that there's going to be situations that arise that are going to leave you thinner, even thinner than you're at in the spring. And that's not a great thing. And now you've got Keon Wiley, you've got Abdul Carter coming in the fall, but that's you don't want to be in a position where they're your crutch and you have to lean on those guys in game situations, especially with a couple of big road games early in the season. We'll be right back on the Lions 24/7 podcast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Piecing together the personnel plan is going to be a challenge for Manny Diaz and the coaching staff, just because of the lack of an influx of talent and the guys that you did lose right now on the field in spring. But to me, the other kind of glaring thing coming out of the conversation with James Franklin after Wednesday's practice is, you know, where's the leadership going to come from? The accountability aspect, being on the same wavelength as this new voice in Manny Diaz for your leadership position on defense. You know, he was asked about Curtis Jacobs. It sounds like, you know, Curtis Jacobs is still trying to figure out his role within this defense, and you got to figure that out before you can get to the next level and start leading others and know what their roles are. Jonathan Sutherland's been around for a while, but I know people don't want to hang their hat on him being the linchpin of this defensive plan. So to me, that's a big question. PJ Mustafer's on the sidelines right now, but he's very much a part of this program. Jair Brown has really stepped up in terms of his leadership based on all the feedback. But that's really where the conversation seems to end. And a lot of it is because guys don't have Big Ten games under their belt. They haven't gone out and proven it. Got to get through practice. You got to get through some adversity. You got to step up and say some things in the locker room. You got to hear some things in the locker room and digest it as you grow as a leader. But right now, while you're looking for a personnel plan, you're also looking from the perspective of when it gets messy in September on the road to Purdue and Manny Diaz is trying to relay his message, how many guys are going to be ready to pick that up and pass it along?
Well, you're also looking at, this is not a completely new defense, but the new defensive coordinator, I mean, Brent Pry was around for a long, long time. So you get comfortable with calling them. And Franklin even said last night, some guys are maybe a step slow because they're trying to figure out where they're supposed to be. And that's great to work that out in the spring. And hopefully that gets taken care of over the next couple of weeks and into the season. But you've got guys like Jacobs. That's a position change. He's in the box now. You're asking him to be a leader. He's got to take care of himself first and figure out where he needs to be. Because if you can be a leader, or you can try to be a leader, but if you're out of position, I mean, that doesn't really help your cause in terms of the follow me aspect of things. So we'll see what happens. The linebackers, a long way to go in that area as well. You hope that one of those two young middle linebackers can nail it down and just give yourself a comfort level on the inside, because I don't think anybody's looking at Sutherland and saying this guy's going to change the defense for the better. I don't think he's going to, you know, be light the world on fire as a playmaker or anything like that. You know, is he a stopgap between trying to get Jamari Budden ready or trying to get the next guy up? Who knows? Because this group, and I say it, I find myself saying it a lot this offseason, is there are so many questions that we can't answer. You know, it's great that we can throw some things out there, but until September, I mean, you're really going to be floundering to find an actual answer rather than speculation.
Sean, we did see some special teams action really quickly there. The one thing is when Sander Sahadak kicks the football, everyone around the field knows it.
Yeah, you hear it, man. It comes off his foot and it's a boom. You know, it's kind of like what we heard with Jordan Stout. I didn't spend a ton of time, paying attention to Pinniger, but like I was filming wide receivers at the time and you hear it and that's like a deer and somebody steps on a twig and, you know, it's kind of crazy to see that pop off of his left foot. As you mentioned, or as we mentioned in the notes, I think his final kick was a 35 yarder and he put that thing well up on the side wall, up on the logo, which is a pretty, pretty special kick. And the leg strength, as I mentioned with Drew Aller, earlier with the arm strength, it's noticeable. I mean, you could be watching, you could not be a football fan and you could see him kick the ball and say, that kid, I don't know where he falls into things, but he can kick things really, really far.
number one kicker in 24/7 Sports 2021 class rankings. Jake Pinniger, fifth year player for Penn State, looking to reclaim his role as place kicker. That's a competition that will continue. By the way, Barney and Moore currently handling the punting role and the holding role. Obviously, Jordan Stout seemed to do just about everything here and there over the course of the season and his career. So we've got some new faces and new places. Don't worry, Sean, the long snapper situation, stable.
Of course, Chris Stoll is there. It's going to be stable. I will say for Barney Amore, that's not a job that I envy because Pinniger's right-footed. Switching. Pinniger's right-footed. Sahadak's left-footed. To turn that around, that's a pretty talented thing for him to have to handle.
Again, we'll be back at the practice field next week. We'll talk about that in our second episode of the week as well. For now, just a few recruiting notes, some top schools lists that surfaced in recent days, Sean. One of them out of Philadelphia, defensive back Sean Battle, who picked up a Penn State offer a long time ago during his freshman year, putting the Nittany Lions in his top five. An interesting one here, because a lot of those offers came early. You look at the top five, it's not necessarily murderer's row in for the sake of speaking about recruiting hierarchy. What do you make of where his recruitment is now, approximately 2 years after he landed on Penn State's 2022 target board?
You go back a year and we're thinking about potential crystal balls for the class of 2023, and you think Sean Battle, you think Antonio Tripp, and now all of a sudden a year later, and we're barely talking about these guys. And that's it's an interesting way to track a recruitment. I will say I've heard Boston College and Virginia probably in the best spot. He hasn't been to Penn State for a long time, and Penn State hasn't been pushing with vigor for a long time. So I don't think he ends up at Penn State. I know they've wanted to see him run. They want to see how fast he actually is. And that's the thing with positions like corner, your status can change in the matter of 100 meters, in the matter of 40 meters or 40 yards or something like that. So I don't really see, without him working out in front of the staff, without him putting up some monster track numbers, that one coming back around for Penn State.
We saw some of that play out last year in the defensive back recruiting board with some of those verified testing and this seeking those out and how those can impact the target board. By the way, the top five for Battle: Boston College, Cincinnati, Nebraska, Virginia. He's out of Newman Goretti, close with a couple of those Philadelphia products who signed with Penn State last class. Tyrese Mills, Ken Talley. I think they made a trip up to campus together last summer. But again, a lot can happen in a year. Sean, the other name here, and he is a recent visitor to Penn State, is IMG Academy defensive lineman and top 100 composite prospect Will Norman. It's a top seven for Norman. He's a South Jersey guy, relatively new to football, and he's down there at IMG Academy, where you can never just never call the guy a Florida kid because he's on the IMG Academy roster, for those listening and don't already know that.
Yeah, he's a Camden kid, which makes it interesting from a standpoint of Elijah Robinson has been, he's a Camden guy as well, very, very successful at recruiting those guys. So I know that there was a crystal ball that went in this week for Will Norman, but I think he's very high on Penn State. But as long as A&M is on that list, you're going to be wary about how things go. Of course, Norman's going to get down to, I think, Auburn and Florida, I think it was. And check out some other schools, but he's popped up at Penn State a couple of times. I will say, probably not one to judge the ebb and flow of the recruitment by social media. And I will warn you against that one. I understand that the crystal ball came in and people want to feel good about that, but I think this is one that's got a ways to go on that. I think Penn State has done a nice job recruiting him, but I'm not ready to trust this one and jump in headfirst for Will Norman to Penn State. That said, you get him back on campus a couple of times, maybe for an official visit, maybe comes up for one of those long weekends in the summer. You've got something cooking there, and maybe you find yourself in a pretty good spot. He's a talented kid, as you mentioned, new to football. So he's got a lot left to tap out in terms of his potential. But just wary of some of those schools on the list. We've seen this with IMG kids before, that have been in the area, and then all of a sudden they go away, and the SEC is calling, and some other schools are certainly appealing to him as well. But I think this one's got a lot left in the tank in this recruitment.
It was Josh Newberg, Florida State insider for 24/7 Sports, who put in that crystal ball pick. Obviously, Newberg,
I texted Berg after, "What are you doing to me, man?" He's like, "Well, I just heard some things and wanted to get that one in." I don't think it's an indication that a decision's coming anytime soon for Mr. Norman.
Yeah, and I know Josh down there covers a lot of IMG Academy stuff. So I was curious when that one popped up midweek. By the way, that top group, along with Penn State, Auburn, Florida, Florida State, LSU, Michigan, and as Sean said, Texas A&M looming down there in College Station. One other note here, we've seen some of these visitors passing through during the week, coming in the weekend. A midweek visit occurred, four-star Michigan offensive lineman Emil Herring in town. Alan True reporting on this on Lions 24/7. On Wednesday.
Yeah, Amir's been in town a few times now, most recently I think for a junior day in January before this week. I'm very interested to see how this recruitment goes. I know he's ranked highly, but he is, as we've mentioned on here before, and sorry to all the offensive linemen or former offensive linemen that are listening, but he is a true guard. He's going to be an interior guy, listed at 6'3", 280, was an Under Armour, MVP positionally. I will say, I don't know that he's high enough on Penn State's board right now that you can look and feel confident. I also feel, even though the crystal ball is pointing to Michigan, you could probably say the same thing about Michigan. Those guys that are that size that work in there, they have a lot to overcome, especially this time of year when everybody's hunting for tackles. And we've seen what Penn State's board looks like. You've got four commits on the offensive line so far, and you're still in it for a number of very good players, and they're still evaluating guys like Tree down at DeMatha, who we mentioned in our first episode this week. So there's a lot going on with offensive line recruiting. So it's going to be very tough for me to say for a 6'3" guard that they're going to go ahead and move on this, even though, you know, some of these guys have a high talent level.
Sean, we've been talking a lot. Next weekend, forecasting as a significant one for Penn State on the recruiting trail. A bunch of guys coming up from Florida. Some names that normally wouldn't pop up in Happy Valley. We'll be continuing to document that. This weekend, aside from plenty of fish for you, what are you forecasting on the recruiting trail for Penn State?
Well, I said on the first episode this week, Kevion Keyes, the linebacker from Virginia, was coming up this weekend. He actually let me know this morning it's going to be next weekend that he's going to be up. So probably some younger guys, Josiah Brown, very fast prospect from Long Island that they just offered, probably a receiver. We'll see where he falls in the athlete spectrum. And Mekhi White, who we talked about on the first episode of this week, wide receiver. I like him as a linebacker. I think that he's got a lot of potential. He's got some size to work with, and he runs pretty well. But we'll see where he also falls on that same athlete spectrum. He's going to be up. So we'll have some more visitors tomorrow. I don't think it's a huge weekend. Again, next weekend is the one that I've circled in terms of being the busiest out of the three.
Sean, we've got one more thing to do before we wrap up this episode, and that is to dive back into the five-star mailbag. Question that's very timely because news surfacing this week out of the transfer portal. Here we are. Do you think Penn State will be in on Maryland transfer Damian Robinson?
Well, it's a simple question with the sort of layered answers. Do I think Penn State wants Damian Robinson? Yes, absolutely. I think that, you know, this is a guy that they recruited very heavily as a linebacker, as a guy that they could play in that. I mean, they've compared 20 guys to him since, but in that Micah Parsons mold, that you could, you know, rush off the edge, you can play linebacker. I saw him at camp, and he was right there with Curtis Jacobs, with some of those other guys that, you know, he was very, very impressive. I was a big, big fan of Damian Robinson. Having said that, he went to Maryland. He, you know, did the whole stay home thing, spent a year there, didn't really do much there. But he's still, I think he's still got a lot of people thinking highly of him. And then you see yesterday that, you know, if you're interested in working with him, contact his agent, essentially. I don't think Penn State is going to do very well in that realm. And that's not just a Robinson thing. That's a thing where if you're looking at guys who specifically come out, and no problem with it whatsoever, because these guys are trying to get theirs. The guys that come out and say, I'm going for an NIL deal, I'm going for whichever school is going to put the most or put the best package together for me or something like that, I don't think Penn State's going to do well there and be a prominent member of that space. I know they've come along with NIL, doing the collectives and things like that, and trying to catch up. But I just don't see I don't see an alignment there between what Penn State's doing, what Penn State does well, and what guys like Damian Robinson are looking for.
comprehensive answer right there. And as usual, the transfer portal carries a lot of layers to it these days. Robinson, the number 22 overall player in 24/7 Sports 2021 class rankings. And I remember that camp he was at.
Big
he
fan.
Was very impressive. Oh, yeah, very impressive. That's going to wrap it up. Sean, enjoy your trip down to catch some fish. Whether you catch any or not, I'm sure you'll have a good time.
I'll catch producer. I don't know if it's going to be fish.
Thanks to our producer, Lance Glenn. Again, we're back on the practice field next week. Plenty more Penn State spring ball to discuss here on the Lions 24/7 podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.